This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome back to The Rush, 5:45 this afternoon. The Roundtable, Bill Carroll, host of The Bill Carroll Show, host of The Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, joins us along with political commentator Trevor Mayo, all for PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. If you lost your job for any reason at all, including coronavirus, make sure you know your rights, know them for free, and know them quickly at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. 5:35, it is Monday, which means exclusively joining us on News Talk 1010, Toronto Mayor John Tory. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Tory. How are you?
Mr. Tory now, is it? Okay, well, nice to talk to Amanda and to Jay, both of you.
No, you missed me. So we have a question for you about mobile testing. We know that today it started in Scarborough, and listeners were curious if this will be expanding across the city and we're going to see it in other areas.
The answer to that is yes, and I know that not because it's our responsibility, it's the province's responsibility, but the Premier told me a week or so ago when they were developing this testing strategy that they were really anxious to have mobile units, or at least one, that would move around the city into areas where we've seen perhaps a greater prevalence or a greater risk of getting infected with COVID-19. So the answer is yes.
Well, good to know.
Now,
do we know where it's going to be going next by chance?
No, I don't, but I just know that because we also offered them. We have three old TTC buses that we refurbished into kind of what are meant to be ambulances and or things that could be used for healthcare purposes. So they're quite amazing to see inside, actually, and we offered those. I don't know if they took them, actually, but they had at least one mobile unit they were already using, and so I think it sort of depended on how many of those kinds of resources they had, but they wanted to move it around to make it easier for people to come and get tested if they had any symptoms, of course, or if they otherwise just believed it would be good for them to get a test.
Is there any truth to the rumor that for those of us that might be afraid of the swab, afraid of the testing, that you're going to be equipping the mobile testing with the ice cream man's bells?
No. It's funny, my mother, who is, she doesn't probably mind my saying her age, she's 88 years old, and she got tested because she happened to be at the hospital for another reason, and said it actually hurt a little bit when they put this Q-tip in your nose, but she said, look, she's pretty tough, but she said it was fine. It's an uncomfortable sensation, you know, when they're putting something into your nose, but she said it was fine, and so if she can put up with it, then anybody can, and people who have any symptom whatsoever or any, reason to believe that they might have been infected should go get the test, because they're trying to, they're trying to get people tested in as broad a range as possible, because it gives you an idea of where the virus is hiding out, even with people who are not symptomatic, and it gives them a greater ability to sort of go and, do things to try and stop the spread.
Now, an incredibly well-attended rally over the weekend, and a couple of questions around this one regarding justice for Regis Korchinski-Paquette, who fell to her death just a few days ago. Two things. Number one, was the city prepared for just how many people were going to be out? And when you, as mayor, look at the crowds that were out and you look at social distancing, I mean, for me, the plus side was nonviolent. The negative side tends to be, I really hope that everybody was wearing masks. I mean, I saw a lot of them, but does that worry you as mayor when you see something like that?
Well, it worries me in the sense that our medical officer of health said today that anytime you get a crowd of that size with people shoulder to shoulder, you're going to have an environment in which the virus can spread, no different than Trinity Bellwoods Park. I mean, you had a crowd there and they were close together. A lot of people were wearing masks. I guess I would have preferred a demonstration where you could have those people out in a very heartfelt way, indicating their, their kind of emotional fatigue and their hurt and their anger about some of these issues involving racism in our city and in the U.S. But life didn't turn out that way, that we had a protest where everybody was 6 feet apart. So, what they've said to the experts, the medical experts, is, proactively monitor yourself to make sure you don't come down with any symptoms. And if you do, go right away to get tested and isolate yourself from that moment forward. In other words, go get tested right away. So it's all you can do. I mean, I think any attempt to sort of tell people they had to be 6 feet apart in a very emotional demonstration like that would have been, not successful and not wise. So, it was what it was.
Mr. Mayor, the Prime Minister Trudeau came out today and announced, I'm putting that in quotation marks, a whole bunch of funding, billions, he says, for cities. But this was billions you were already expecting. Are you disappointed in this measure, or are you expecting more funding to actually address the real needs that the city has?
If they said this was it, I would be deeply disappointed, and I would have used probably stronger language than that. And you know me, it takes a lot to get me into strong language. But I had the assurance when I was told of this last night that they're doing this to be helpful. All it is really accelerating some money that was entirely provided for and budgeted for, so it's not new money for us. And but I was told at the same time that the provincial government and the federal government are working together, and I gather more so than you'd hear from the verbal jousting that went on today, they're actually working, you know, closely together to fashion some kind of a program, hopefully, to help the cities, and I'm optimistic about that. You know, I just wish this constitutional fencing, first of all, wasn't necessary, because the way cities are, you know, left to the sort of vagaries of any particular government, any particular time is ridiculous, given the importance of a city like Toronto, 20% of the national economy. So, you know, I wish it wasn't so, but we're having a bit of that kind of constitutional fencing. And when that's over, I'm confident we're going to have a package that will help us because we have very real needs and we have to be stable if we're going to sort of help to lead the recovery of the whole country. So that's what we want to do. And I'm optimistic we'll be put in that position.
Now, when we look at the Prime Minister's announcements, I think even the most average person, and I'm curious as for the mayor's take on this, when we watch our Prime Minister come out daily during, Amanda said that, you know, a number of people refer to it in the industry as the morning show, which is the morning brief, and billions upon billions upon billions of dollars is thrown out. I know just as an average taxpayer, I look at it and I go, where is this money all coming from? More importantly, how is this ever going to be paid back? As the mayor of the economic engine of Ontario, if not Canada, do you not also watch the Prime Minister and think to yourself sometimes, where does all this come from?
Well, of course, but at the same time, I also know that Canada was fortunately, as a very wealthy and successful country, quite well positioned before the pandemic, better than many other countries, in terms right. of our debt relative to the size of our economy. So in other words, our ability to create wealth and either pay off that debt or the magnitude of that debt actually shrinks as the economy continues to grow. So I guess if you are optimistic about the future of our country and our city, which I am hugely optimistic about after this pandemic has passed, then you will realize that even the additional debt we're taking on still puts us probably in the best position of all the G7 or G8 countries after it's over. So you realize this is something you didn't want to do. It's no different than if you're doing well at work and you have to take on some additional borrowing, say increase the size of your mortgage to do a renovation. You know, as long as you continue to do well at work, then it won't be a big problem for you. So I'm not, blasé about it, but at the same time, I recognize this is a strong, wealthy country. These are investments to save the lives of people, you know, when they're in trouble, when they're unemployed, or when their businesses are going down. And so it's an investment in the future strength of our country, and it will pay itself back, and the country will grow, and the debt will not seem as large in the context of a future economy that's grown. So, of course, you'll watch it carefully, but I think this is what had to be done.
You have loved Pride in the past. I've had the privilege of marching with you in it, and I also really love Pride, and we've kicked off Pride Month this month. What can we expect from this city in order to kind of, I know we can't obviously have a big parade like we usually do, but what are you hoping to do as mayor to kind of, you know, bring that community together and really make sure that we do celebrate and take a moment to celebrate the LGBTQ people?
I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle, to be honest, and they're doing their very best to come up with a very clever program. I mean, I've seen the list of events because I picked off the ones I wanted to do, which, as you would remember, Amanda, was many of them, but they're going to be different. They're going to be virtual events online. Maybe, although I just heard it being discussed on the news there, you know, maybe some of the bars and so on, restaurants will be reopened so that there'll be a bit of a scene, but we don't want too much of a scene because that just contributes to the possible spread of the virus. So, you know, I think the community won't want to miss Pride entirely. That's why we had a flag raising today, but we did it with like two people on the podium roof at City Hall. It was pretty, Kristen Wong Tam, myself, and a member of the Jad Jabber from the board of Pride. But I guess we'll just have to do our best, and we'll have to celebrate our best and stand in solidarity with the LGBTQ community, which is what Pride's all about. Hope for better next year. But I think they'll put together a clever program. It's just a matter of how many people will bother to go online and be part of it. Maybe I'll be surprised at the fact that it's hundreds of thousands like we have for the parade.
I want to make sure I get this in because a number of people at 71010 have requested that you listen to some audio from the Evan Solomon Show today. This is a Toronto police officer named Effie who has an issue with what she quotes as bad apples on the Toronto police force. And she's basically pointing fingers at you. Take a listen. Mm-hmm.
Any woman that comes forward, and I tell you, two of my amazing colleagues were forced to quit last year, and these women were out there serving the public, treating everybody fairly, and all they said was, we are being sexually harassed, we're being sexually abused, we need this to stop, there's racism on the force, and what do? What did they do? John Tory sits on the police union board, and he turned a blind eye because he saw the evidence, and he said it was overwhelming. And that's what's happening today. We got this. We got our mayor that's seeing this, is sitting by and doing nothing, and women are getting destroyed.
Mr. Mayor?
Well, first of all, I should say, and people won't be surprised, the woman that was speaking there had has a claim both in front of the courts and also in front of, I think, the Human Rights Tribunal, and so I can't comment on the status of her claim. I will say that the Police Services Board reached settlements with two other individuals on mutually agreeable terms of settlement, but we weren't able to do so with this particular person, and I can only tell you that I don't know what statements she's attributing to me. I don't recall making any such statements, and because I wouldn't have commented on a pending proceeding. But having said that, this is a proceeding, and I'm sorry that I can't comment more on it. Look, there are always challenges in any organizations, including the police, and not limited to the police, with regard to things that go on in those workplaces. And I can just tell you that the vigilance that is being exercised by the Police Services Board on those kinds of things today is at a much higher level than ever. And there are going to be cases that happen from time to time. I'm not excusing them, but I'm just saying that you know, we're trying to be very vigilant about this and change the culture of policing, as many workplaces are trying to change their culture so as to be more considerate respectful of all people, including women or any other people from diverse backgrounds or otherwise. So I can't say more than that. I wish I could, but you just can't, because these are proceedings that are current.
Toronto Mayor John Tory will be back with us on Wednesday. Thank you.
I'll be there. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye now.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.